Last Wednesday morning, I was talking to Shirley about Kaylin, their daughter. And, you know, as we were talking about earlier, Kaylin has been fighting for her life with cerebral hemorrhaging that has affected her arms and her legs, her mobility. She's had blood clots in her lungs. This has been a long, hard road for the family. With Willie's heart surgery, with Shirley's prolonged illness, with Kaylin's own daughter's brush with death, and Kaylin cared for all of them during their sickness. But during this conversation, Shirley and I talked about how when you walk through something like this, all you can do is just cling to God in the moment. Just one day at a time. And you find yourself looking for the smallest mercies along the way. Being thankful for sometimes just the littlest thing. Because you hurt and it's hard. And we went on to talk about how we live in a broken world and we shouldn't be surprised when troubles come, though we always are. But still, God has ways of meeting us unexpectedly in the middle of our difficulties. And when we cannot see His hand, we can still trust His heart and look to Him with faith. Now, that isn't easy sometimes. And that's what our scripture is about this morning. It's the 103rd Psalm. The entire psalm is incredible, but we're just going to be touching on the first five verses. We'll look at a couple of other parts of it, but I want us to read it this morning. Let's go ahead and read it together. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And you thought you were the only person who talks to yourself. That's what David's doing, right? I mean, he's not just talking to himself. He's talking to, this goes deep. He's talking to his soul. He's giving himself a reminder here. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. You know, so if you do that, if you talk to yourself, you're in great company here. But if you keep on reading, and you might want to have your Bible open on your laps as we look through the psalm, because there are some fascinating things. I mean, if you just look at the flow of the psalm, David starts with, praise the Lord, O my soul. And then he moves on to others, and then he even tells the angels and the heavenly hosts to praise God. And then, of course, he wraps up. Again, comes back to praise the Lord, O my soul. But why is there so much insistence on this? Why is he doing this? Why is he saying, soul? You know? Because God is worthy of it and because he knows it. But he also knows that there are times where we can't see that. Where we wrestle with that and we struggle with that, and that's a natural thing. So he's giving himself a reminder. You know, looking at the psalm, I think that David was likely older when he wrote it. It kind of has that feel to it. When you've walked with God over a number of years, you understand that you've seen his hand at work again and again. And that's sort of what seems to be going on here. You see him looking back and counting God's mercies along the way. And that's a great thing to do. You know, if you would like to be reminded of reasons to praise God, I'd encourage you to spend some time, and it doesn't take long, just even 5 minutes, thinking about moments in your life where God was good to you. Think about, you know, Julie was just talking about blowing a rod on the highway at 70 miles an hour. Think about moments in your life. You know, and think about things that maybe you had no control over. Maybe God placed you in a loving family, and you were blessed by that. You know, certainly all of us living in the United States have many blessings that many people do not have in the world. Yeah, but let your mind do that as an exercise sometime today. Just think about. I did it the other day, and I found myself realizing. I went back years, and I found myself seeing things that I had never seen before. How good God was to me, and it really helped me to praise Him. I mean, even times when I didn't think He was there. Reflecting on that, man, it makes a difference. But that's what David's doing. So let's just look at some of the ways he does it here. Who forgives all your sins. I mean, this was under the old covenant, right? But this goes deep for believers in Jesus. I mean, Jesus carries this to the ultimate fulfillment at the cross. Ask yourself this question, where would we be without Jesus? I mean, of course, the Word tells us we would still be in our sins. I mean, you might look at yourself and say, man, but I'm struggling so much now. But the truth is, you take Jesus out of the picture entirely? Man, where would we be? Think of the weight we would bear if we were still in our sins. Think of the distance that it would cause between us and God. But as Psalm 8 reminds, this psalm reminds us in verse 8, the Lord is compassionate, He's gracious, He's slow to anger, He's abounding in love. Verse 10 tells us He does not treat us as our sins deserve. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Now, this is David under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, think of how complete this is through the cross. So God sees you and me as His children in Jesus. He forgives all our sins. Next, He heals all our diseases. Now, we've got to look at this carefully because this is not a promise that God will always heal our sickness. But David is speaking to his own soul and thinking about what God has done for him personally. You know, he's looking back over his own life and saying, you know, the Lord has certainly healed all of my diseases. But he's also saying that this shows us God's character. The Lord elsewhere in the Old Testament is called Jehovah Rapha, which literally means, it's a name for him that means the God who heals. And this is one of the reasons why it is so important for us to come to Him with prayers for healing. You know, when we come to Him with prayers about healing, it isn't this law of averages kind of thing. It's, well, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. That's not prayer at all. It's coming to a God who is sovereign and saying, Lord, we know that You're able to heal this. You are able to do this. We believe that. And we place this before You in Your perfect wisdom, but we are asking. And in asking, we have seen God do amazing things. I mean, you've heard me tell the story before about when we had a man here who literally, you know, we got to see that there were changes that happened on the x-rays after we prayed for him and anointed him, and we didn't have oil, and all we had was hog fat. But God in His mercy, not even kosher, right? I mean, God in His mercy still moved and healed him. It was a beautiful thing. We serve a healing God. He is the great physician. I know it totally sounds weird, but it blew us away when it happened. It was like, what? You know? keep on going, who redeems your life from the pit. Now, the pit, he's talking literally about the grave or a place of abandonment. It could be prison as well. Think of Joseph who was thrown into a pit. But think of the times when God has lifted you up out of the depths and helped you when you didn't know how you could get through. You didn't know how you could even get through the day. Think of those moments when he met you. I think of a time, it just comes to mind right now, when I had a professor in college who, I mean, this guy and I, man, we just had a personality conflict, just head on. And it was one of those things where I found myself wrestling with hating the guy. And you know, we all have that, whether it's in work or just in everyday life. We, you know, our human nature is that way. And I come out of his office one day in, you know, just on the verge of tears. And as I'm walking down the hall, there's another professor. And that professor basically says, "Come here, I want to talk to you." And in his kindness and mercy there, again, God met me in that unexpected place and helped me to get through. Now, that's a small thing compared to some of the difficulties that you may encounter. Things calculated to break our hearts. But think of how God has met you. And if you're in a dark place right now, and you can't feel his presence, just recognize that it is his character to love. And sometimes I think that in our human nature, you know, because we live in a fallen world, it's like we're a radio with an antenna that's broken and you can't pull in a signal. And sometimes we're unable to feel God's presence. It does not mean he isn't there. Hold on. Keep waiting. Keep looking. Keep believing. And he will meet you. He will meet you. Who redeems your life from the pit. And then here you see his nature and crowns you with love and compassion. This language of crowning defines the characteristics of one's life, what you are all about. And when you find yourself in a relationship with God, the most identifiable characteristic is love. When you know how he has met you and loved you, and you know yourself better than any other person, and you realize, wait a minute. He loves me. In spite of my sins, in spite of my mistakes, in spite of so many things where God could just have nothing to do with me, he chooses to love me. He crowns you with love and compassion. He's the inventor of love. He's the author of love. Only he can show us how it works in our relationships, in our home, in this world, wherever we may be. But when our lives are caught up in him, they are caught up in love. And so often we tend to seek that love in other places. And we tend to try to stuff things into our souls, be it things, be it relationships. But there is a hunger of the heart that only he can meet. Augustine's words are on point and well known. Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Because it's love that really enables us to truly rest. When we know that we are accepted, I mean, you know, what is it that's so great about a mother's love? You know your mama loved you at your worst, right? But God's love is better even than that. Because God's love sees things that, you know, I mean, human beings, we may struggle to forgive sometimes. But God showed his forgiveness through the cross with this love that is absolutely greater than anything we know. David would write elsewhere, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It's as if to say that when we are found in him and in his love, all is well. That's a great quote from Catherine of Siena, by the way. Someone else who loved Jesus. And all is well, and all is well. And every manner of thing is well. Even in this world. Let's move on. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. I think the image had to be of an eagle soaring. You know how they soar on updrafts. Basically, you know, they have this amazing natural knack. If you watch a red-tailed hawk, for finding an updraft and then going, and they're not even moving. They just caught the wind in a new way. And I think that remember, just think about Isaiah's words for a minute. He may have been reflecting on these words from David when he wrote this. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It's an image of God lifting us. All we do is place ourselves in a position for him to lift us. It's not about, you know, all of this effort. Richard, you know, you said a little bit ago about how sometimes it doesn't take long. You know, that all we have to do is make ourselves available and say, Lord, here I am. And quiet ourselves in his presence. There is a strength that knowing God gives us, strength that keeps you going regardless of what you are facing, because it is he who lifts you up. And there is none like him. I'd like to leave you with an illustration from Ben Patterson's good book on the Psalms, God's Prayer Book. It's a quote from John Fountain, who was a professor of journalism at the University of Illinois. John Fountain lost his father when he was 4. His dad was led away from his apartment in handcuffs, leaving the family in poverty. But John later came to know God as Abba, Father. And he gave this testimony on the NPR series, This I Believe. Listen to these words. I believe in God, not that cosmic, intangible spirit in the sky that Mama told me as a little boy, always was and always will be, but God who embraced me when Daddy disappeared from our lives, the God who held my hand in my hood swallowed by the elements, by death, and by hopelessness, who claimed me when I felt like I was no man's son, amid the absence of any man, to wrap his arms around me and tell me everything's going to be okay, to speak proudly of me, to call me son. I believe in God the Father, embodied in his Son, Jesus Christ, the God who allowed me to feel his presence, whether by the warmth that filled my belly like hot chocolate on a cold afternoon, or that voice, whenever I found myself in the tempest of life's storms, telling me, even when I was told I was nothing, that I was something, that I was his, and that even amid the desertion of the man who gave me his name and DNA and little else, I might find in him sustenance. Do you know in your soul the sustenance of knowing him? The beauty of who Jesus is to meet us in all of our imperfections, in all of the places where we think others would run from us, to meet us and say, come, follow me. You are loved. Does your soul praise the Lord? Not just for all he's done for you, but for all that he is. Because it's who he is that causes him to bend to us. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Can you do that? Will you do that? He will help us if we ask. Let's pray. Lord, this is such a simple thing, but we struggle with it. We ask that you would help us to just lay it down, those things, that fever pitch of life. To be with you, even for just a couple of minutes, to do nothing else but just say yes. Thank you. I love you. Father, thank you for Jesus. As we wrap up today, I'd be remiss if I didn't point to him one more time and simply say, his death for us on the cross shows us, because he is God on the cross, the very goodness of God and the lengths that he would go to reach us. And if we come to him and say, yes, Lord, I receive what you did for me. I receive your dying for my sins. You are taking everything I've done away. I receive that. I receive you. Help me. Help me to live with you and for you. Oh, he will. He will. And you will find that as you follow him, you will praise him and bless him more and more, because he is so good. And no one loves you like he does. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.